Local solutions. One challenge, two regions, many solutions. Welcome to Local Solutions, a podcast of the European Committee of the Regions. Today we will look into a rather difficult path European societies are treading. The path towards inclusion. Building an inclusive society means creating a society where everyone feels safe and welcome. A society in which no one is discriminated against for their gender or sexual preferences, beliefs, or lifestyle. How can we build such societies in Europe? What do we have to learn? What do we have to unlearn? We will look for answers to these questions in two local initiatives, one in Germany and the other one in Poland. The project Queering the Library was launched by the Central and Regional Library in Berlin in 2021 within the framework of the Europe Challenge Program. Tim Leick, program manager at the library, is the head of the project. Debbie Ballers, librarian and queer program manager, assists him. We asked Tim and Debbie why the library decided to engage in such a project. What were the main challenges they faced, and what did they learn along the way?
So our decision to focus on queer communities was made very early. We are currently facing a political situation in which undemocratic movements have an increasing impact. And in fact, queer communities are under pressure all across Europe.
In Berlin, and especially in the neighborhoods next to our library, queer persons are very present. At the same time, they are consistently attacked by transphobic and homophobic violations, and they also encounter a lack of understanding for their identity. So, by providing a platform in our library for the community with the Europe Challenge project, we intend to be a safer space which aims to be empowering.
In community-orientated processes like this, you have to find a good strategy for reaching out to the community and to invite them to a co-creation process. In this case, and in times of a pandemic, we had chosen to publish a call for participation. And from all the submissions we received, a jury had selected three submissions.
Obviously, we as a public library don't have the knowledge and the expertise to decide what queer communities need and what is the best way to design the platform in our library, which we provide with the project. That's why we had mainly representatives of the queer communities in our jury to do the selection.
We handed over community budgets to all three initiatives in order to develop pilot projects in a first step and to enhance them after an evaluation in a second step.
The first of the three projects is called What Do You See That I Don't See? This project, realized by Mehrblick, involves the design of so-called reading glasses. These reading glasses will be added to the books as an independent object to make it possible to critically reflect on the contents described in the book. The development of the glasses and the design is part of the project. With these reading glasses, children and young adult literature can then be utilized as an instrument for more multidimensional reading and maybe for learning that also includes LGBTQIA perspectives.
The second project was realized by Transcoded. And this is a new magazine by and for queer communities. And Transcodiert explored a cross-media platform consisting of a queer literature magazine on the one hand and bringing queer artists to the public space in the library on the other hand. Especially the second aspect links perfectly to the library's potential, which is providing a public space for discussion, debates and knowledge sharing.
The third project came from the initiative OYUN. It was called Unheard and Unseen. The project's aim was to create a community-driven archive of and for queer people with a migration biography. Because in difference to heteronormative family structures, many queer people don't have cultural practices to collect their histories.
One main challenge, among others, was the need of building trust, because topics like representation and inclusion, there are not topics we only deal with. And in many cases, institutions, they just pretend to face the diversity which we have in our societies. So in relation to that, the initiatives wanted to be sure that we are interested truly in an exchange with them. Also, if that means that we as a public institution are confronted with our own barriers.
Exactly. We also learned that even in a project that is designed from the beginning as an own voices project, the library must always be aware of the goal of transferring sovereignty of interpretation to the community during the ongoing process and, if necessary, puts its own expectation on hold. In the long term, this also increases the chance of building trust.
In Poland, we discovered an initiative that has been going on for quite a while. The Living Library events, organized by the Marek Edelman Dialogue Center in Lodz. The Living Library is an educational tool developed to fight discrimination and prejudice. Originally created in Denmark, the methodology has officially been adopted by the Council of Europe. Elisa Gost is project coordinator at the Marek Edelman Dialogue Center, and she is also the person who decided to create a Living Library in Lodz. She shared her experience with us.
The concept of Living Library is to create a safe space for the dialogue. So we invite people who are living books, people who are sometimes excluded, who are coming from the various minority group, and we create the space to meet the people, to talk to them, to learn their point of view. This project is in Łódź, in our city, since 2013. We organize one big edition every year in November, and also some small editions. And this project takes 8 hours, the whole day, and we invite people to come to us, the readers. And the normal conversation between the reader and the living book takes 30 minutes. Who are the living books? That is the big question, I think. And they are really different people from various minority groups. We have some people with different nationality, religion, ethnical groups, but also people from the LGBTQ+ community, people with disabilities and illnesses, or people who have different way of living. The Living Library, it's not only an event, but it's also a large process to build a community. I am the person who is looking for the new books, and I try to do it every year, but also we have some books who are every time with us. And sometimes it takes a long to build trust to these people. For example, I remember when I was looking for a people in the crisis of homelessness, and it was really a long time to build trust in this person. But after that, he was a huge fan of this project. What is really important for us, the organizers, is the safety and comfort of the books. This is a priority to us, and we have to be sure that the books are feeling really good in this place. We try to be prepared for all the situation, but nothing bad has occurred so far because the readers are usually very tolerant, open-minded people. This is, of course, a good thing, but also this is a big challenge to us. Because maybe reaching out to the non-tolerant people, the people who really need this kind of experience, who are not open and acceptant for other people, it would be really important to reach them. But the problem is that they don't want to come to our place. But still, we have some solutions for this. So we try to bringing the experience of the Living Library to the schools, because the young people, they are in the age when they are creating their identity. And this is really important to them to get to know a lot of new, different people. Sometimes, as organizers, we have some personal frustration because we try to build an inclusive society, but we see that our country seems to be going in the opposite direction. But still, I really believe in this Living Library project. I believe that this is really important for the books and for the readers. And I'm sure that we will do it as far as it will be the need in our society to talk about acceptance and to meet the other people.
Marikis Houten is a member of the European Committee of the Regions, and she is also the alderman of the municipality of Nieuwegein in the Netherlands. In 2020, she broke ties with Nieuwegein's twin city, Puławy, in Poland, because the latter has been declared LGBTQ-free zone. We invited her to comment on this episode's subject. Mrs. Houten, from the two local projects presented before, we learned that one major challenge that inclusive initiatives face is building trust so as to make discriminated people feel safe. How can such a challenge be approached on a broader European level?
You know, that issue is quite a complex issue, so we'll also have different answers to it. And I think in order to address it on a European level, you really need to think about how would you address it if you come across these issues in your own neighborhood, because that's where it starts. Speaking out, using your voice, very important. And also, and then we come to the level of like my role as a alderman. Do we have enough safe spaces where people can meet and ask questions and also tell the stories? You had the concept of the Living Library. And in my city, last week, we did have for the first time a Living Library. And I think the beauty of that is, can we together create a space where people are courageous enough to be there and to open up, but also to ask questions? Now, to come to your question, can we still have a kind of curiosity and empathy so that we can listen to stories of people and ask questions? And I think a sense of curiosity and empathy and a good sense of humor, believe it or not, these three are very important when we talk about inclusion.
One more pitfall is tokenism, or rainbow washing. Some inclusive initiatives are done just for appearance sake, or because inclusion now is a trend. What is your personal take on this?
I think if it's on a European level, perhaps symbols are very important. For instance, the rainbow flag is really important. Does it change the world? Maybe not. But it really provides a token, if you want so, to provoke maybe, or to at least inspire a discussion. So on a European level, we need to have symbols that help us to have a discussion and to have a debate with each other and a dialogue. And I bring it down to my own town, because Europe is us. It's you and me, and it's our states, of course. You know, of course, about the rainbow pedestrian crossings. We have them quite a lot in the Netherlands, and I'm sure in many other places. And not so long ago, we made a few in our busy city centers. And you always get questions on, why do you do this? So it really helps to talk about, yeah, but why do we do this? Because really, there are people belonging to the queer community who are really scared to walk hand in hand with their partner. And I think our public spaces should be safe enough for people to walk hand in hand, just as an example. So on the one hand, it may seem sometimes as queer washing, no, you use tokenism. And we should be careful for that, because I agree. Tokenism is not, it won't help us. Very counterproductive. And at the same time, we need symbols.
The different identities and cultures of the member states enrich and nourish Europe. But when it comes to such delicate themes as inclusion, they rather seem to make the Union more vulnerable. You decided to cut ties with your city's Polish twin because the latter has declared itself an LGBTQ free zone. Where do you draw the line between the freedom of each individual state to build the society they want and Europe's right to demand adherence to its fundamental values?
Yeah, again, a very important and a very difficult question. And I think when we see that people are being dehumanized, then I think all warning bells should go off. When our leaders, myself included, started to talk in us and they, I think, again, our alarming bells should go off. When people are step by step sidelined from public life, then I think we really need to have a very serious dialogue with, be it the country or the group that we are talking about. So is there a clear-cut line? Maybe not, but I think what we really need is a high sense of awareness that it sometimes takes very small steps to reach a place where people are excluded, and then we can't go back. So a clear-cut line, maybe there always is a clear-cut line, when people are structurally excluded, dehumanized, and excluded from education, from public services, I think it's time for a very serious talk.
Thank you, Ms. Houghton. You made some very clear points there, showing how the basic ingredients for inclusion are the same at the local level as at the higher political level. Curiosity, empathy, and awareness of the humanity of the other. Thanks also to Tim Like, Debbie Vallers, and Elise August for sharing with us their experience and their engagement for a more inclusive society. You have been listening to Local Solutions, a podcast produced by the European Committee of the Regions, in which we look at one challenge and how it is faced in two European regions. Keep following us for more solutions.